56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:05 the time. Final hour for us today here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Tuesday, June 9th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you, broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, you can check out all what they have to offer, and it's a lot. Get you set for the summer. 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 81 degrees. It already feels like 94. Wow. At 9:05. We're talking about a temperature of 93, so I got to guess the feel like it's going to be 100 or more. Thunderstorm this morning is possible. Otherwise, partly sunny, warmer, and humid. Tonight, mainly clear and humid. Also, a thunderstorm is possible tomorrow. 94 degrees, but it looks pretty good as far as the lack of precip. Good for us to get out there and play some golf. Only about a 4% chance, and then more of a chance later on in the week into the weekend. Speaking of golf, it is time for our golf segment.
It's time to hit the links and talk some golf. It's Mickey and Friends. Mickey Barker, administrator of golf for the Bluff City, joins Greg and Eli each week. Now, here's Mickey Barker with Greg and Eli.
No Mickey this week, but he has sent a friend over, a friend of ours, a friend of the show. Sean McFetrich is here, the facility manager and head pro at Galloway Golf Course and the West Tennessee PGA Chapter President. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Can you believe he chose the city council after you, over you guys?
Did he really?
I can't believe
it. Wait till I...
You know, creating history with Memphis golf. Yeah, you know, he chose that over you guys.
I assumed he was playing golf.
No, he doesn't play quite as much golf as he would like to anymore. But that doesn't mean he's not good at it anymore. But yeah, he's at the city council, I believe, trying to finalize stuff for the clubhouse at Audubon.
Oh, okay.
And it's funny, I had a meeting yesterday up in Nashville. And what we are doing in Memphis, for lack of a better term, having a golf house at Audubon where we kind of centralize all of our operations for first tee and amateur stuff and our professional stuff, the rest of the state is copying that. They're getting ready to start that in Chattanooga. And the Tennessee Golf Foundation, a gentleman named Whit Turnbow who runs that, is really – he has nothing but praise for golf in Memphis and specifically Mickey and what they've been able to do with Audubon and what the clubhouse will mean. And now they're running with that in Knoxville, Chattanooga, Tri-Cities. It's going
to
be really
cool. You guys
are
setting the precedent. Yeah. Whit, I believe, was on our show. We had a chance to talk to him last year. So is this council meeting and whatever they're trying to do, is this the last hoop you got to jump through?
I don't know enough information to be definitive on that. But Whit is in town. To go to that meeting as well. So my feeling is it's probably pretty close.
From your perspective, that's what I mean, the willingness of the city to continue to pour into golf is a great thing. We're talking out there, like you guys just got done replacing the whole irrigation system over at Galloway. So like the fact that this city continues that commitment to the game of golf is such a great thing.
Yeah, we're in, and I've said this for a couple of years now, really since Audubon reopened, it's really tough to find a municipal area in this country that has better golf facilities as total as we do. I have friends and family from out of town that'll come in, and I mean, you could make a trip, a week trip,
yes, you can.
A guy's trip, yep, to Memphis and play nothing but, I mean, obviously there's a bunch of other great facilities in town as well, but you could play just all city golf facilities and have an amazing trip. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's what started, you know, with Mayor Strickland and what has continued. It's really cool, and there's a lot of people to thank for that. But it, you know, it's been kind of a group effort, and that group effort does not. I can tell you from some of the meetings that I sit in on up in Nashville. That group effort doesn't happen everywhere else.
Yeah.
We're very lucky to be where we are.
Yeah, and I imagine that's part of your responsibilities as the West Tennessee PGA Chapter President. What else does that entail for people who don't know?
Wow, that's a good question. It kind of changes every day. so we have our section politics are set up secretary, vice president, and president. At the chapter level, we just have a vice president and a president. It's mainly education items for our membership to make sure that they continue to grow and expand as a PGA professional. Tournaments, events for our members, our local club pros, just supporting our guys at and trying to make them a success at their different facilities. It's kind of one of those many different hats are played sure. on each day. Brian Wood, who is the head professional at Memphis National, is my vice president. He'll be taking over. I'm actually on the last legs of my presidency towards the end of this year and beginning of next year.
So you're going through your victory tour now?
Yeah, exactly.
Around the state?
You're a lame duck. You're a lame duck president.
And there are days that I'm happy about that. It's something that I've enjoyed doing, just trying to better the grow the game of golf, better golf in our region. It's pretty cool.
So we've talked about that irrigation and the things that have happened over Galway. We've talked with Mickey about those, some trees were taken down, the irrigation. And you were just telling us, like, you could already see the impacts of these things that have been done.
Yeah, so it's funny. I put a post on Facebook. My superintendent, Bo Reynolds, who does an amazing job, I think he's trying to leave us and become a photographer because he sends me all these pictures now in the morning of the sprinkler heads. And you know, we're not used to seeing all the heads working at the same time. And it's – so I was talking about areas not only on our greens. We did have some issues with our specifically with our greens and head issues that we had around there. But we also – we found heads in this process that we didn't know were on the golf course. We found spots that have already – you know, they started the process of reinstalling the sprinkler heads about 45 days ago now. And so, for example, number 17 was the first hole they completed. And you can already see benefits from those spot from the new heads, from the – renovation in spots, not just around the greens, anywhere. It's going to be a huge success for us.
I know talking with Mickey a couple of weeks ago was so dry, it hadn't rained, and now it's rained a lot. So as far as the weather and where we stand here in June with the weather, rain, sun, all the changes you've made now, Where are you guys? Where do you think everything is weather-wise here, and not only on your course, but in Memphis?
Yeah, it was funny. We made a joke. All it took for us to get rain was bringing the guys to replace our irrigation system. this is the time of year. So we just aerified our greens late Sunday and yesterday. Most of our city courses have either done it within the last 2 weeks or getting ready to do it within the next 2 weeks. I had a text conversation with Mickey yesterday. We're just so excited to see what we can become. You know, the renovation at Galloway, geez, 25 years ago now. This is the first major replacement of items that we've gone through. So with the knowledge that we have in our city staff, now the resources that we've been given at Galloway and all the other facilities, it's going to be really cool. I'm excited to see where we can get to in the next – you know, month or two as we get ready for our Memphis Amateur Championship and a lot of events that we have at all of our different courses coming up.
When you get into the heart of the summer in Memphis and we get the 100 degrees and it's dry for, like, how much water do you have to put on a golf course to keep it alive, I guess?
A lot is the right answer, yeah. It's We're very lucky at the resources we have at Galloway, but we will go through some times where we will try to pick out specific issues. If I have a choice between the rough or the greens, obviously the greens you have different goals, different mm-hmm. spots that you know need a certain amount. So we'll pick and choose there a little bit. It's the afternoon storms can be very beneficial during the summertime. It was funny. I yesterday driving back from Nashville, I went through two huge storms on I-40, and I called Bo to see how things went, and he said, "Yeah, we didn't get a drop at Galloway." I was like, "You got to be kidding me!" Sometimes you're really lucky if you're under that 1 hour storm, specifically if it's like from 9 to 10 o'clock at night.
So you
don't run the golfers off the course, but sometimes you have to make some choices.
Sean McFetridge is in here talking with us in our weekly golf segment. And for Mickey Barker this week, he's the facility manager and the head pro at Galloway Golf Course. And as we mentioned, West Tennessee PGA chapter president, but not for much longer as his reign is coming to an end. You mentioned the Memphis Amateur. What are the dates? And for is it already booked up or can people still get involved?
Yeah, you can still register. So everything goes. Austin Shin, who is our player mm-hmm. development director, he has it set up on our website, memphispubliclinks.com. You can still register. So it's the 24th, 25th, 26th of July. Galloway has the first round on Friday. Go to Pine Hill on Saturday. And then if you make the cut, you go to Audubon for the last day. Really cool event. It's always kind of fun to get the competitive juices flowing. You know, I get guys. Had a gentleman out this morning, first thing out at like 5:40, that plays in a lot of our events. And I was talking to him after our Galloway Championship, which was a couple weeks ago. And, you know, tournament golf is different than regular golf. When you're entering the scores and signing your name after it, it can be different. So it's always fun to see not only our great golfers, but also our guys that are just striving to make the cut, you know, play that last day and kind of test themselves. It's a great tournament.
Do you try to, if you can, make the greens, cut them down a little bit, make it a little bit faster for these guys? I mean, is it normally what everybody else is playing?
It's pretty close to normal. I mean, we will. So that third week or fourth week in July, whatever it is this year, you know, that's usually 5 to 6 weeks after we verified, and the greens are really healthy. They're getting the heat, they're getting the water. So it's easier to get them playing a little bit faster. For our Galloway Championship, which we had a couple weeks ago, you know, at that point, without the heat, without the aerification, you have to be a little careful on getting them too mm-hmm. low. So they'll be faster, you know, not exponentially faster, not horribly faster, but we try to, you know, we try to make sure we'll roll them and maybe even double roll them that morning, just so they're not really fast, but pure, so they're trying to
sure.
to
so I get asked for
run smooth, yeah.
But yeah, you I've played in that a few years. I haven't played it in a few. I might try it again this year, but there is no doubt the tournament golf is a whole. When you got to make the little one footer, yeah. and then like that type of stuff, like yeah. it's a whole different world in tournament golf.
Yeah. Like that, the putt. I didn't get to see much of the Women's Open.
Oh, Nelly's putt. Yeah.
But Nelly's putt on 18. I mean, you could feel that in your soul. You're like,
he was saying that yesterday.
You're like literally like that. Like you just like I can't like I. That's the last putt I want to have to win a U.S. Like you're like. I mean, everything in your body is tightening up. Yeah. You're just like, how do I? And obviously, she's a world class, unbelievable. But like, you get out there. That's the thing. Like, there was times where I'm like battling to make the cut, and you're like, mm-hmm. oh gosh, I just left myself this 3-footer, and they say knee knocker. It is legit a knee knocker.
Like, how many times do you hear a guy in the post round or post tournament interview? And they say, man, I was so nervous. I was shaking. And you're looking at, oh, I thought that guy was cool as a cucumber. Like, really? You were nervous? I mean, I couldn't even imagine being in a situation like that, how nervous you get.
You know, they say if you're not nervous, you don't care. So, I mean, even those guys that have done it for years and years and years, they get the nerves.
Well, I was yesterday. They had, of course, the U.S. Open qualifying going on, and I was watching some of that, which they call golf's longest day. And, like, there was one guy in the playoff, and I can't remember which site it was, but, like, missed, like, a 3-footer to cost him – self an opportunity to play in the U.S. Open. Like, it's like, I mean, I just like, oh my gosh, I can't. You've played 36 holes that day. Now you're playing extra holes trying to qualify for the U.S. Open, and you miss mm-hmm. like a 3-footer that costs you that opportunity. Like, I can't even imagine what that feels like.
Yeah, that's a long car ride.
Or big money, a big money putt that costs you $500,000. The other thing yesterday, not to get off topic here, but during a U.S. Open qualifier, and I forget where it was, the guy knew he was going to not qualify, but he was going to be the first alternate. But all he had to do was tap out his putt. But he picked up his mark and he left. And they made
that
a big,
was the
what was that
Svensson
all about?
I think it was Svensson in Ohio, one of the Ohio ones. Yeah, because the other guy made his birdie, so he knew
it's done.
He knew that guy had gotten the last spot. He wasn't thinking about the alternates. Another guy has already been in for par. He needed to tap in his par putt to have a chance to be the first alternate. The playoff would have continued for the first alternate. He didn't realize that. He picked up his marker, or he didn't think about it, and he picked up his marker, and so he had conceded, and the other guy is the first alternate. He becomes the second alternate.
We talk about how mental the game is, yeah. Again, for folks who want to get some tee times, want to go out and play Galloway or any of the other public courses, what do they need to do?
Yeah, so obviously you can give us a call. Galloway is 636-7805 or our website, memphispubliclinks.com. That has all of our courses there. You can make tee times online there. And then I did Austin Chin wanted to remind everybody, so the Overton Park Junior Open is also coming up in July. It's the 13th through the 16th. I have volunteered as a rules official there for the last handful of years. They're still looking for volunteers. And you don't necessarily have to be a great golfer. You don't have to have a lot of golf knowledge. There's volunteers for all sorts of different aspects there. And I can neither confirm nor deny that there's free Bluebell ice cream volunteers and contestants. So if you've got time and you'd like to help out the kids, that'd be awesome.
And again, how do they contact?
I believe that's all on memphispubliclinks.com as well. He's got a spot there for volunteers, yeah.
All right, Sean, great to see you again.
Awesome to see you guys. Thanks.
Thank you so much. That is Sean McFetrich. Again, you can go see him out at Galloway, the facility manager and the head pro. We'll take a timeout when we come back at 9:30. The Hall of Famer Nancy Lieberman joins us. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 at 98.5 FM.
Be sure to download our Hub 901 app for instant access to Sports 56 and all the Flynn Broadcasting stations from anywhere. Go to the App Store and get the Hub 901 app today.
56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Here once again,
Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. 9:24 is the time. Tomorrow on the program, DeMichael Cole will join us to talk NBA draft, talk Grizzlies. We also begin our World Cup countdown. Lawrence Dockery, our soccer insider, is going to join us on a weekly basis. We talk World Cup. He's going to be actually covering some matches, and we'll get his thoughts on the event, which starts later this week. The United States will begin later this week as well. I think I said what yesterday? Paraguay, I think, is who they open up with. And then at 9:05 tomorrow, Tim Pernetti will join us, the commissioner of the American Conference. We'll check in with him.
That that qualifier yesterday where Svensson picked up his ball mark, that was in Toronto. That was the Toronto qualifier. I couldn't remember which one it was, but it was.
How many sites?
I think it was the Ohio. I don't remember how many total sites there were yesterday that they were going.
But it's interesting because, like, I'll read it and they'll say, let's say it's Columbus, Ohio, and they'll say there are 85 golfers for 9 spots, and then there'll be another one. It'll be like there's 34 golfers for 3 spots. Well, would you rather go to a place where there's more golfers and more spots, or less golfers and less spots? Meaning the you won't have as much competition, but there's not as many spots open.
Part of it depends on what kind of competition you're looking at. I mean, a lot of them with more have a lot of PGA Tour guys playing in it versus some of the others. But I'll tell you what, the amateurs were crazy yesterday. Like the one in Sacramento, you had 3 amateurs of the 4 qualifiers, 3 were amateurs. The one site in Florida, they had 3 amateurs qualify over guy like Matt Kuchar was in that, didn't get through. Christian Bezuidenhout was in that. Luke Clanton was in that. Like they had a lot of PGA Tour guys. And it was 3 amateurs that actually got out of there, including Miles Russell, who is a 17-year-old, who that's the one that Charlie Woods, mm-hmm. Tiger's son, was caddying for. Now, I don't know if Charlie is going to caddy for him in the actual U.S. Open or not, but he did caddy for him. He's one of his like best friends, and they're going to both go to Florida State. But he caddied for him in the qualifier, and he got through. He's one of, I think, 2 17-year-olds who ended up qualifying for the U.S. Open yesterday.
Yeah, I saw when he putted out, and then Charlie gave him the big hug. And I don't know. I don't know what his deal is with having other people that have the experience that could caddy for him in the Open. Maybe he'll use Charlie. That'd be kind of interesting to see.
I would think he would want to get somebody who has a lot of experience
right.
at Shinnecock. I don't know. But there was some like J.B. Holmes, who hasn't
saw that story.
Played in a U.S. Open since 2019. He qualified yesterday. Like it was. I watched quite a bit of the coverage. Just that it's. I mean, it is a. Of course, we used to have it here in Memphis every single year when we had the tournament around this. You know, right before the U.S. Open, we always had the qualifiers the Monday before the tournament here because a lot of guys were going to be in town. But it's. Man, it is a day. You talk about mentally taxing and physically taxing. Those guys. They go through. There was one yesterday I was watching, and I can't. I think it might have been that Toronto one because it was when they had the eight. They had a playoff of eight guys for three spots. Max Homa was one of them. He ended up losing. He didn't make it through. But they're showing the guys at the green, and it's not like it's TV card. They just have one camera behind the green that they use to show these things. And because it was eight guys, they had two groups. While the first foursome was on the green. And the other foursome was behind him. One of the caddies went over into the woods to go to the bathroom. Had no idea he was right in line with the camera.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you could see, you know, you could just tell what he was doing, but it was just funny. He had no clue that he was on the Golf Channel yesterday using the restroom in the woods.
Well, of course, here on Sports 56 Mornings, we attempt to educate as well as entertain each and every day. And this is certainly something that's very, very serious, but we're so excited to have the great Nancy Lieberman, who's going to join us here in just a moment. The most common cancer found in men, I think a lot of people know this, especially older men, is prostate cancer. And there is a major push to save lives through awareness and screenings. And at the heart of the effort is one simple but powerful message and a three-step game plan. And we are pleased to be joined now to share the message by the two-time Naismith Hall of Fame inductee and Big Three head coach Nancy Lieberman, Lori Tessel, the chief philanthropy officer at the Prostate Foundation. Nancy, Lori, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Nancy, let me start off with you. It's a pleasure to have you on. How and why did you get involved with this particular cause?
I got involved because my dear friend Jay Harris from ESPN mm-hmm. told me he had prostate cancer, and I was just blown away that he was sick, and he's a survivor. But I just thought I needed to learn more, so I connected with the Prostate Cancer Foundation, and they gave me some real great information. One in eight men will get prostate cancer in their lifetime. One in six are black men, two mm-hmm. and a half times the rate to white men. And they talked about early detection, where if you're in your early 40s or so, if you have a history of prostate cancer from your grandpa or your dad, you should get detected or early detection. And if you do, you have a 100% chance that once you take that blood test and you find out if you have any elevated levels, your score, as they say, then you're good to go. You're, 99% chance you'll be fine in your lifetime. But if it metastasizes and you haven't really gotten any blood tests on you, then once that comes out of your prostate and it attacks, it metastasizes, it will hit your organs, your liver, your kidneys, and the outcome is not going to be what you had hoped for. So we're trying to get this check the box, the PSA, the specific, the prostate specific antigens. That's the check the box, the PSA. And we're just trying to get people to advocate, men to advocate for themselves when they go see their doctor.
Lori, why is this important right now? Like, why do men need to hear this right now?
Because we already know that 20 to 25% of men are being diagnosed with prostate cancer right now. But that's only of those men that have been tested. The Prostate Cancer Foundation has invested over $1 billion in understanding the treatment of the disease and finding a cure. That research has led to 14 FDA-approved treatments that both extend and improve the quality of life. We have treatments. We now need men to go get tested, go to the doctor, make sure they're tested so that they can benefit from this research.
And Lori and Nancy got to some of this already, but I mentioned at the beginning a three-step game plan. Give us the three-step game plan.
Okay, so I'm a coach, so I love game planning. So the first thing you have to do is you've got to meet with your doctor. Then the second thing you have to do is get tested. If you don't get tested, you're not making the shot in my world. And then you'll find out what your score is, and the doctor will be able to game plan how to best take care of you. So we want to take this, and we want to spread this all over the world to let men know, please, please don't be afraid to get a blood test. That's why we partnered with the Big Three in every Big Three city this year. And thank you to Ice Cube for wanting to partner with Prostate Cancer Foundation. So information will be disseminated in every city this year. There'll be free testing in certain cities. And to Cube's credit, he was like, you don't even need to have a ticket to go to the game if you need to get tested. So we're trying to bring this to the people so it's easily accessible.
And Lori, how important is it to have people like Nancy, like Ice Cube, the Big Three, helping you continue to get the word out to guys?
It's huge because we want to step into that community, and it helps to have advocates who understand the community and can help us make the... We want to normalize the conversation.
Right.
Because men are afraid, like anybody else, to talk about their health. And if you have Nancy and Ice Cube saying, hey, let's talk about it and get tested, it makes it that much easier.
And Lori, just to double check, because this thing, I fall right into this category. I should be doing these things. I'm lazy. I try to get an annual checkup. I don't always do that. So when I go in for my annual checkup, I get a blood test. Am I getting a regular blood test, or am I asking for something that will detect the prostate? Does it come with an automatic blood test?
You're going to have to advocate for yourself because it's not currently included in the primary care guidelines.
Gotcha.
You're going to have to say to your doctor, I want that prostate-specific antigen test.
Gotcha.
Check the box, literally.
There's the check. So how cool is it for you to – I mean, obviously, this is a very serious subject, and we're grateful to have you guys on. But you're doing this with the two-time Hall of Famer. To have Nancy Lieberman right there, it must be a treat for you, huh?
It's the best. I cannot have a better advocate next to me. She's saying everything loud and clear, and it's personal to her. So it's the best.
So Nancy, what do you think of the NBA Finals and obviously Spurs bouncing back last night? Do you think the Knicks need to worry? What do you think?
I think that I was a little upset last night when I went to sleep because I am a New Yorker and they hadn't won since 1973. They were two-time champs in my childhood and they hadn't been to the finals since 1999. And I just thought that. I think we have to move the ball a little bit more, but I do want to give the Spurs credit.
Sure.
Wembanyama, Castle came out. They did things that no two young players have never done in the history of these finals. They came out with purpose. That the physicality, they won the physicality part of the game, and they played to how the referees didn't call it. So, you know, New York obviously has to win game four. You have to, because yesterday really gave the Spurs, those were two close games, game one, mm-hmm. and they were winning by 14 points in game one, and they were winning with 2 minutes left in game two. So whatever Mitch Williams did in his game planning, they executed that.
As a longtime coach, how would you try to defend Victor Wembanyama and the freak that he is? And I say freak in a great way.
We've never seen anybody like Victor at this stage of his game. I mean, you see him pulling up, for logo threes.
Right.
He can shoot set shots. His gather move is from beyond the three-point line, and he's dunking it at the rim. I think you have to keep him away from that. I would engage him in screen roll every time. Whoever he's guarding will be the guy that I'm pulling to screen roll to take him away and, then try and attack the rim like they've done when he's been out of the game. But we have to, the Knicks have to meet the physicality, you know, of the Spurs from the beginning. They can't get down, you know, they can't be down 10 or 12 points in the first quarter, right, as they did. They allowed the Spurs to have some emotional momentum.
We had the situation with the WNBA. They got the new collective bargaining agreement done, everything else. What do you think about the state of the women's game right now?
Never been better. This is everything we always wanted. You know, I had hoped to have a league when I played. Everybody today expects to have a league. And the young lady, they expect to be millionaires. They're making millions of dollars in NIL. Not everybody. Mm-hmm. But I'm really proud of the league and the players. They've done a great job with negotiations. And really, as this CBA continues to go forward, everybody in the league will be multimillionaires in the next, you know, 4 or 5 years and beyond. So I'm happy. There's so many great stars in the league. Asia Wilson is a beast. She's a winner. She's the best player. She's an MVP. You know, Caitlin is Caitlin. She hit the game-winning shot last night. Mm-hmm. Not sure why you would leave her open.
That's what I was thinking.
It's like, why? You're up one. You don't even have to steal the ball. You just can't let her get the ball.
Right.
So I'm not going to coach Washington, but or maybe I just did. But, you know, Angel Reese, there's so many stars in the league right now, Paige Beckers, and the league is in such an incredible place. And women's sports in itself, you know, a couple of years ago, we were like a $177 million, you know, business entity, and now, you know, we're over $2 billion in evaluations. I think the Valkyries were just evaluated at $800 million.
Wow.
Well, you could have bought a team 10 years ago for $10 million.
Could have bought the league.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
That's incredible.
Women's softball, you know, the World Series, volleyball, the WNBA, Unrivaled. There's so much happening in really golf and tennis, but team sports are leading the way right now. It's pretty impressive, including soccer.
Well, I've been around a long time, and I remember the days, and, you know, I don't want to age ourselves here, but watching you play at ODU and your great career and then coaching, you've been a great coach. I love watching Big Three basketball and watching what you're doing there. But the two of you and what you guys are doing together, along with Ice Cube and everything, for something so important, we thank you for what you're doing, for the awareness. Hopefully some people out there that are listening will adhere to what you guys are saying. I'm going to be one of them. We'll absolutely do that, and we could save a lot of lives. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you
so much.
If there's anything we can do for you going forward, just let us know. But I love Memphis. I love the Grizzlies. My little baby boy, NLE Choppa. There's a lot of connectivity. I know you laugh because you can't believe I'm in his rap video. I am. I'm in Choppa's rap video champion.
I did not realize you and Choppa had that.
Nancy, you're the coolest. Yes. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Now take care.
Thank you.
Choppa can play some basketball.
Nancy Lieberman is so cool. I mean, and I didn't, you know, I was getting there going, oh gosh, I hope she's not mad because I'm kind of aging her. I don't know how old she is, but she's been around a long time. Looks great. Great coach. Was a great player. Great advocate for women's sports. And, of course, now what they're doing as they attempt again to educate and provide more awareness for prostate cancer. Just terrific what they're doing.
Folks, whether you're buying or selling a home, well, you want to make sure you've got a great real estate agent to help educate you and make sure they know the market and the ins and outs and what you should be looking for and everything you need to know to make sure if you're buying, that you're going to get a great home at a great price. And if you're selling, you're going to get a great deal, or you're going to get a great price for your home. You're going to get that top dollar. Now, if you want to get rid of your home quickly, well, Bubba Sandifer will take care of that for you as well. Bubba Sandifer at Emmett Baird Realty, 901-319-0747. He will buy your home as is for cash. If you're just trying to get out of it, he'll take care of that. But if you're trying to get top dollar, well, then he's going to make sure he lists that home. He gives you the maximum exposure, works the market, gets you serious buyers, and gets you top dollar for your home. And again, if you're looking to buy it, well, he'll help you find that perfect home for you and your family as well. That's Bubba Sandiford at Emmett Baird Realty, 901-319-0747.
You're listening to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
The time, final segment here on Sports 56 Mornings. I mentioned earlier one of our guests tomorrow, Lawrence Dockery, to talk World Cup. The World Cup about to start later this week. I was looking at the U.S. men's finishes, and it's only the men's World Cup this year. The men's finishes in this century, U.S. 2002, made it to the quarterfinals, lost 1-0 to Germany. Group stage in 2006, they didn't get out of the group stage. They finished fourth, so dead last in Group E. 2010, lost in the round of 16, lost 2-1 to Ghana in extra time. 2014, round of 16, lost 2-1 to Belgium in extra time. 2018 was horrible. They did not qualify. 2022, they made it to the round of 16, which is not bad. Lost 3-1 to the Netherlands. So that's what they've done in the century. We know that it's not a great history of success, but they feel really good about their team this year. I mentioned yesterday they just played a friendly over the weekend, lost 2-1 to Germany. And we'll get Lawrence's thoughts tomorrow about the World Cup. But there's hope that it could be a good showing for the United States. I'm not sure who's in the group of death, Eli. I haven't really broken it down yet.
I do not know. Not sure who the group of death is. When are the first games overall? When does it actually start?
Thursday
is the first game.
Yes, overall. And the U.S. plays Friday, I believe. Paraguay.
By the way, we did not talk about this earlier, but the Charles Barkley Cardi B comment at halftime last night was that was prime. That's prime comedy right there. That's good stuff.
It's prime comedy, but I was surprised that Disney let it fly.
I actually thought about that. I was like, it's
Charles Barkley. He's like Goofy or Pluto, he gets away with murder, and I love it.
Like now on TV, you could basically pretty much say anything other than the F word on TV now. And I think they've realized now. But the funny thing is the players, you could hear players curse, like they do mute it. And I don't know what they're saying. Now, maybe they are saying the F word. But no, that was good stuff from Charles. Not Cardi B's, they look like Cardi D's.
My wife was laughing. Stuff. I was laughing. Everybody was laughing. Again, if it's not Chuck, I don't know if that person gets a bunch of flack today.
A very short list.
Right. There's a short list to get away with it. Chuck can get away with murder. He can't. And I love it. I mean, he's like a teddy bear. You know, you want to hang with Charles Barkley. But so while they love Chuck, not so much the mayor of New York and the president of the United States, because those two showed up for the game. And the Knicks lost for the first time since April 23rd. So, of course, you know who they're blaming for the loss. They're not blaming...
Well, Mike Brown's blaming the officials.
Well, Mike Brown, he's taking the high road.
He's blaming the referees.
I don't know if it's the high road, but he's taking the road away from the political realm. He's going right to the officials. Because, again, that's twofold. You let your anger out, but also you're trying to set the tone for the next game if you can. We'll see. But as you said, the Knicks got more calls, shot more free throws in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, in the first half, it was them getting free throws. Second half, yes, they – and yeah, again, they're going to miss calls. And I don't know how you decide. There are times when, like, the Knicks – and you know, Wembanyama got – he did get away with what should have been probably a flagrant foul when he took the head – wrapped his ginormous fingers around the head of Jalen Brunson and shoved it. But and I had, and he's got to be careful. Obviously, we saw the one game where he got the flagrant and got kicked out, and I can understand the frustration because there are it is a full on wrestling match at times, which is again that's the way you need to defend Victor Wembanyama. But like, I mean, they're like just full on arms wrapped around him, holding on for dear life. It is, I can't imagine. But like, you watch some of the stuff going on the block. It is legit full on wrestling that is happening while they're trying to get position.
Look, we've talked about it many, many times. I love the fact that they're letting these guys play because nobody likes whistle after whistle after whistle after whistle. Like we get a lot in the regular season. So I understand to a certain extent that you're going to call the postseason differently than you do the regular season. And I bet if you asked an official, why do you do that? They would say, we don't do that. We don't call it differently. Yes, you do. You call it differently. Everybody knows it. But my gosh, right now, if they're not going to call anything, they're going to continue to push the envelope. They're going to continue the mugging. They're going to continue the assaults on the court. If they can get away with it. It is old school basketball we're seeing, and I'm all for it. But I wonder, I know this is crazy, but I've talked before about that alternate official who's right there at the scorer's table. Watching, seeing the video, seeing the replay, seeing everything so quickly that I wonder if one day down the road they'll involve that alternate official more as a fourth official. And that they will just stop the game, blow the whistle if they see something outrageous that was missed.
That would slow up the game too, though. A great deal. And I think that's something they'll try to stay away from. But in the name of getting stuff right.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right?
I get where you're going from.
Where are we going? We want to get it all right, or do we want to keep games quickly?
That's what the replay officials are for. Right.
Yeah, but if there's no call made on the court by the three officials, this guy who's courtside, we're not going back to Secaucus.
You're saying that guy's, the ones that's missed, the guy yeah, that's courtside.
That guy, okay, they just missed, let's say, Wembanyama just choked the guy out. They all missed it. This guy, he blows the whistle or whatever from right there, from the video. He's looking at it. And he blows the whistle, and they stop, and they go, okay. They come over to him, and he says, Wembanyama foul. And they can look at it, and they can.
But if they wanted to do that, the guys from Secaucus could just buzz the officials and tell them that you just missed this.
Yeah, and I've said that before,
too.
So
if they want to do that, they still don't need that guy to do it because he's not there at every game. They just have the guys from Secaucus. If you want to implement that where we're going to go back and say you just missed something, they would just buzz the officials. They blow your whistle.
Yes,
they get the word.
But the way I – they
have the communication.
The reason I say that is because the person right there sees it live and then also sees the replay, where in Secaucus they only see it on TV. He sees it live, and then he's thinking to myself, why didn't they blow the whistle? I think the guy just mugged the dude, looks down, sees the replay. Oh, he definitely mugged him. Stop. I don't know. I'm just – there is that yin and yang about whether you want just quicker games or do you want to get the calls right or do you want – I mean, it's almost impossible to keep the game limited time-wise if you're going to blow your whistle all the time. That's why they're not blowing the whistle. In the postseason, they don't want to have games that drag on. They want excitement for the fans. They can get away with it in a regular season. But ultimately, that's why they implemented replay, is to get calls right. But if they don't call them initially on the floor, I mean, I don't know. It's just it's a catch-22 to a certain extent.
It sounds like what you're suggesting is that they pretty much kind of retroactively go back and make calls, but
Not too far. Within a second
within
or two.
Within the possession or so.
Yeah.
Still could be a little slow, but I understand.
If it's outlandish. If it's something that's like how did – now you think Wembanyama committed the foul, right?
Well, he clearly did.
He could have got 6 months in the local penitentiary.
I would assume they would have called that a flagrant one on a review.
Right. So they missed that. And then somebody – whether it's Secaucus buzzes in or somebody – somebody that's an official or associated with the officiating, right? The person either that's the alternate or Secaucus is able to inform them, buzz them, whatever it is, that, look, you got to stop it. You just missed something pretty flagrant.
It was funny, though, to watch Brunson then go back at him, because you're like, dude, like, it just doesn't look right. You're like, it's staring into his like belly button.
It reminded me of the scene on Bad Boys when John Sadler was trying to help Martin and Will, and Martin got pissed off at him, and John Sadler stood up, and Martin was like, it's looking just, directly up at him.
I'm like, dude, you're 6'2", he's 7'5". Like, this just doesn't look right. You can't be bowing up to that guy. It just doesn't look right.
Jalen's a Jersey kid. Greg can tell us all about that.
He literally just palm his head. Just like, what are you doing? Like, it was just funny. But
he made him look like a figurine. You know,
yes. He could carry you around in his pocket, Jalen.
By the way, they showed a replay of one of his alley oop dunks, and I always thought, like, they throw it up there in the cylinder, and he just comes in and just kind of like pats it down, like bops it. He grabs it
on rebound.
I didn't realize that. I thought he was just up there and he just kind of like, you know, corralled it and threw it in.
He literally palms it,
mm-hmm. holds it, and then goes down. I mean,
he could reach up with one hand like it's nothing. Just grab onto a basketball like with one hand like it's a baseball, looking like a tennis ball. Like the way
how easily
he can grab onto a basketball.
It's like Andre the Giant with the beer in his hand, and you're like, my God, what? It looks like a little kid's toy.
It looks like a kid's toy.
Doesn't it?
That's the best description for it, especially with how big Andre's hands were. It was right. Like, this is a foot, dude. What do you got on your wrist right here?
Exactly. But, you know, watching, and again, Wemby, from start to finish, he was on his game. And I've said it twice already in the show. I'll say it a third time. It really amazed me how they were able to focus so well with everything going against them, going into that arena, that hostile environment, down 2-0, and not feeling like they had the pressure on them.
I think they liked it that way because they were away from home and they were in a spot where they could have their backs against the wall, and they just took that challenge.
Hey, do you think there's less pressure than
I think so.
On the visiting team?
For this series, I think so.
For this series?
Yeah, because with New York, you got the craziness of 53 years. And with the Spurs, you just got their babies. You know, so
right.
You got babies versus a grown team that hasn't won in forever.
Right. Babies meaning young. You're not saying any other crybabies or anything. I agree with you 100%. 100%. All right, so tomorrow on the program, DeMichael Cole at 8:05, the latest on the Grizzlies and the draft, which is coming up 2 weeks. Round one is 2 weeks from tonight. We'll talk to DeMichael Cole, all things Grizzlies and the NBA Finals, of course. 8:30, as I mentioned, Lawrence Dockery will be on to talk soccer. And then the commissioner of the American Conference, Tim Pernetti, will join us at 9:05. Want to thank Ali Sadiq, Sean McFetridge, Nancy Lieberman, and Lori Tessel for joining us on the program. Wolo and Friends on Sports 56 is coming up next. John Harden and Darian Newsome in this week. For Wolo, for Eli Savoy, and for Jay Ham, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great day, everybody. Don't stop believing.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.